Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Never have I seen a bird going to work. Oh, I've never waited in line at ESL behind a bird. You're doing a great job, son. Thank you. Excellent job. That was scripted. We needed that, all right? Like, he's not just bringing in stuff. That's going to be in a second. But the Bible says this, nor gather yet in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He feeds the birds.
Yeah.
I love this phrase. Are ye not much better than they? No offense to the bird kingdom, but Jesus didn't die on the cross for the birds. He died on the cross for us. All right. Praise the Lord for that. Appreciate that reminder, Runyon family. Before we get into our message, I just wanted to mention something. It was about a month ago we had our annual meeting, and we set forth a budget. And I just want to let you know, meeting with the deacons on a monthly basis rather than talking about the finances, we're a little behind of what we should be in our budget. So if you don't normally give, or you just kind of took off from giving, if I could encourage you sacrificially and do that. Otherwise, again, we're going to have to make some adjustments if we don't. I'm not doom and gloom. I know by faith we serve the Lord, and I trust Him to supply the needs that we have here. But if He could, if you could through you, use some sacrifice, praise the Lord for that. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to meet here this morning. Thank you for the warm air, the sunshine out, and God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to assemble together to worship you. Truly, you are worthy of all the worship, all the praise, and God, all the honor, all the glory. And God, I pray that right now that would be happening. God, in our hearts, we would be sensitive to your leading in our life. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. By definition, the word redeem. Message was printed, ready to go, and then the choir sings about redeem. It's like we orchestrate it. We didn't. We should, but we don't. And then that last verse, O worship the King, our Redeemer, our Defender, our Friend. Man, I'm hypersensitive to the word redeem this morning, just because that's what our message is about. By definition, it means to purchase back, to ransom, to liberate or rescue from captivity or bondage, to rescue, to recover, to deliver from. Stand over here, and I have a little illustration. All of these things came from my house. If I were to take out 20 American dollars, Abby, come on up. I will just use you for a moment. Brother Rice was out of his seat. He wanted to be a volunteer. This is real, genuine 20 American dollars. I'm going to temporarily put it into your hands. All right, very good. Here you are, Miss Abigail Russo at the store. She's got her 20 American dollars that she has babysat hard for and dealt with your own children screaming, crying, breaking things, torturing her for a couple hours, and she comes home with 20 American dollars. And she's at the store, and now it is time to spend your money. We have some options here at the store, and number one, I would like to introduce you to what we would consider trash. These are orange peels. Now, some of you are crafty and can maybe make some potpourri out of it. Number one, we have the trash. Number two, to which, may I say, just stepping away from the illustration for a moment, far less than the value of what she is holding in her hand, may I say. $20 could buy you actually oranges and not just the peels. Maybe you can zest them, put them in a recipe, whatever. But here we have what we throw away. We call this trash, Brother Rice. This is trash. Next, we have, Abby, a lovely game. It's a fifth anniversary edition of the game Makikoro. 2 to 4 players, approximately 30 minutes in time. Excellent for ages 10 and up. Yeah, they have sponsored this video. They, if may I just say, families, if you're looking for a great introductory game, this is excellent. Highly recommend it. We played it a lot of times at our house. I've recommended it. It was a great gift, and we have expansions even for it. But this game is approximately $20 in value. Now we come to our third item. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the computer of computers. Say, what do you mean? See that little symbol right in front there? That means it's going to work for an extended period of time. That means you're going to pay double, but it will work. And it will be happy, and everybody's happy, and it won't crash. And if it does, you're in big trouble. This is a MacBook Pro, all right? It's got a SSD drive in it. Did I say that right, Brother Parrott? All right, very good. No fans, none of that. This is just instantaneous information storage. Again, as I look over the table, I see the $20 American in my daughter's hand, and I look at it, okay, if we're at the store, we can buy something far less than what the value of the money she holds, something equal to the value of the money that she holds, or something far exceeding the value of the money that she holds. So Abby, at this moment, if you were to fulfill our purchasing power, no, we didn't rehearse this, right? Okay. You know what you're supposed to say, right? Okay, very good. And so as we're at the store, Abby, if you could purchase one of these three lovely items, the orange zest, the Maki Koro from the trash, Maki Koro, hours of delightful, or your very own MacBook Pro, which would you choose? Can you please touch them? Touch the one you want. What? You wouldn't take the computer?
Have 20.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you can take anything. Okay, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have rehearsed. All right, very good.
I only have 20.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You get one of these, you want that one. You're going to... So out of all the... I mean, not the trash, not the value, but the far exceeding value.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know... Even if you are not a Mac guy or girl, I don't know who wouldn't say, give me the thing that far exceeds. When the Lord looked down at us and he wanted to redeem something, now he's standing there with very high buying power, the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, give me the trash. Give me the stuff that nobody wants. Give me the mess. And that's you and I. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. The crazy part about it all is that this is what he bought, but this is what he sees. Say, what do you mean? He purchased the lowest thing. He got a sinner that could really do not much for him, but in what he saw was this incredible love and care and sauce of great value. Lord says, I got a deal. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 14. The Bible says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There's three thoughts in this verse I'd like to draw our attention to here this morning about redemption. God redeemed us from some things. Number one, he rescued and recovered us. And it tells us what he rescued and recovered us from all iniquity. I saw a news article this past week. A young lady was having a heart trouble over at Walmart right here in Brockport. Someone ran to Brockport. And someone ran to her aid, performed CPR, helped, and saved her life. Saved her life. Around Christmas time, out there in the Buffalo area. People were getting stranded and people were going out to try and save other people's lives, even to their own danger and hurt. Do you understand what the Lord Jesus Christ saved us from? Far exceeded just what this earth could do. He redeemed us from all iniquity. He rescued us from the penalty of sin. He redeemed us. He says, I'll buy the trash. Say, I'm nice looking. Hey, let me explain something to you. We're sinners. All, every last one, from that side to that side, and as far deep as we can go. We're all sinners. And we're all a mess. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. How did He purchase us? Did He show up with $20, $100, $2,000, $2 million? No, He said, I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to pay for your sin with my blood, because that's what God the Father required. A sacrifice. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. He recovered us from all iniquity. In Colossians chapter number 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter chapter number 1, turn there please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I've said this before, but I think I mean it this morning. I don't think this morning's message is going to be a long message. So just pay attention. But it is pointed, all right? 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 18 says this, for as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things. Hey, God didn't show up with money and gold and silver and said, all right, I'd like to buy them. No, no, that's not how He did it. The Bible says, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with what? The precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And He saved us, He redeemed us, He purchased us and saved us, set us free from all of our iniquity. This week, Pastor Seatman was, he has a carpet cleaner. That's a life changer. You want to talk about salad bar, but getting a carpet cleaner, if you have carpets, that's much more than vacuum. This is like deep clean. And we had a spill this week, and so Pastor Seatman brought in the carpet cleaner and he started doing a little section. He said sludge was coming out of the carpet. I say, no, the carpets are clean. You don't realize how dirty things are until you start to clean them. And he ran that thing over a couple times over the area, and it was still coming out dirty, but it was better than before. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't like, well, I'll get most of it. No, the Bible says that He saved us, He redeemed us from all our iniquity. All of it. There's not a sin He can't forgive you of. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. He redeemed us from something. He redeemed us from our sin. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For now, follow these next couple of verses. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Hey, He set me free. That's what redeem is. He's purchased us. He's liberated us from captivity and bondage. What bondage? I see no shackles. I was never in jail. I was never in prison. I was never bound. Hey, we were bound by the consequences of our sin. And the Lord says He redeemed us. He set us, He made us free from what the law could not do. And that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of His sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Hey, He set us free. He redeemed us. He says, I'll take that and I'll take it home with me. That's what purchase is. He purchased us. There's not a sin God can't forgive you of. Hey, let me tell you, that's not just good preaching. That's real. Oh, that makes for good preaching, Pastor. That'll just help people come to the Lord. Hey, there's not a circumstance, you thief. Philemon, isn't that what that whole chapter's about? Hey, there was a guy, and he was working with this other guy, and I found him, and he came to the Lord, and he's really sorry about all the hurts he caused you, and what he owes, you can put that to my account. Makes it sound like someone was stealing. Maybe you were a thief. God says, I can set you free from that. How about Romans chapter 8? How about this? We're just going to go right after the big ones. How about that? Romans chapter 8. Look, I'm sorry, John chapter 8. Say, I was in Romans 8. I thought I had a quick turn, right? John chapter 8. Let's follow this story. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again in the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Well, I mean, that's a deal breaker right there. That, hey, that's not good. That's not right. But can God forgive that? And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Hey, they wanted to execute judgment right there. We got her. We got her pinned right here. We have stones in hand. Can we stone her? What do you say, Lord? And they said, tempting him that they might have him to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. We don't know what he wrote. Oh, I've heard a lot of messages about what he wrote. It doesn't say. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus, hey, if anybody could have, he that is without sin, know who could have cast the stone? The man standing right there. He was out without sin. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Look what he says. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't give her license to sin, but he forgave her of her sin. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how bad I've done. You know how far gone I've gone. There's no way the Lord can save me. There's no way the Lord could forgive me. You don't know what I've said against him. The Bible says that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a murderer. And a third of your New Testament is written by him. Do I condone murder? No. Do I condone sin? No. But do you understand that there is not an iniquity that God cannot forgive you of? Man, praise the Lord for that. Aren't you glad when you came to the Lord humbly and said, God, I've sinned against you and mankind. Will you forgive me? I want to turn from my sin. He says, absolutely. I've paid for that. You know what he did? He just took some trash and said, I'll take that. We're the orange peels. We're not the MacBook Pro. We're not even Maki Koro. So I was wondering how to say that. No, we're a mess. The Lord took the mess. And he saved us from our sin. Now each time, he had a different plan now. Hey, this is where I found you. Now I want you to be something different. He didn't say, all right, Paul, keep going to do what you're doing. When he met the woman there, he didn't say, all right, keep going to live that lifestyle. He says, no, now there's got to be a change. Hey, he redeemed us from something, but he also redeemed us to be something. Present, right now. What is that? The Bible says, go back to Titus chapter number 2. Who gave himself for us in verse 14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Years ago, I used to work for a chimney company, so we would install wood stoves, and we would restore things that got hit by lightning and all that kind of stuff. One of the things that the owner of the company encouraged us to try and sell were these air purifiers. Because if you got a wood stove or something like that, if you have one of those, there is some smoke and it is kind of dirty. So you're burning wood stove stuff, and maybe it bothers you. So he's like, hey, see if you can sell these things. They're these air purifiers. It was supposed to charge the air, and I don't know. I don't know what it did. It was supposed to make the breathing air clean. That's what purify means. We have a water purifier at our house. If I poured you a glass of water during the summertime from the tap, Abby, what's it taste like? Salty butter. Now, butter's great, but not to drink. I don't want a glass of butter. That's actually bothering my stomach when you say that. I get it. So we installed a water purifier that takes all those impurities out and makes it clean. That's what God desires of us. Hey, he's redeemed us. He's purchased us from our iniquity. And you know what he wants us to be? Purified unto himself, a peculiar people. Oh, you bet that's going to stand out. That's going to look strange. Hey, we live in a world that's just different, contrary to the things of God. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. A peculiar people. Purify unto himself. Hey, he's redeemed us from something, but he's also redeemed us to be something. What is that? Purified. Clean. In 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Say, that's the nation of Israel. That's not me. That is not. Look at verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Hey, that's us. That's the Gentiles. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. What does he desire of us? He desires that we are to be something. Hey, he saved us from something. He's purchased us. He's forgiven all that past iniquity. But today, what does he want you to be? He wants you to be holy and clean and pure before him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Hey, he bought you. Toys R Us, remember Toys R Us? Toys R Us didn't come to my house. Hey, I'm here to take Maki Coral back. The Apple Store didn't say, I would like that computer back. Well, I bought it. It's mine now. That's the Lord. Did he not purchase us? He did. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's redeemed you to be something, clean and holy, to do right. Hey, we can't just keep saying, you know, I'll fix that later, I'll fix that later. Eventually, if we keep saying that, it becomes a big problem in your life. Do you not see that at your own house? Oh, I'll fix that light switch later. I'll take care of that plumbing issue later. It's just a minor leak. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because your basement will flood at the most inopportune time. I'm going to ask you, what did the Word of God do in your heart this week? Did you read it? Did you open it? Did you spend time with the Lord? Did you say, God, what do you have for me this week? God, I know I'm not thinking right, and I know my ways are different than your ways, and I need to think like how you think, and I need to see things how you see things. Did you spend time in the Word? Did you obey it? We just heard a great lesson in Sunday school about obeying what God tells us to do. Well, I don't understand it. We don't have to understand it. We just have to obey it. What did the Word of God say? What did the Holy Spirit touch your heart about? Did you listen? Go with me to Romans chapter number 13. Hey, He redeemed us from our iniquity, but He redeemed us to be something right now, right here. What is that? That's holy. Romans 13 and verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If I really get a hold of what God purchased and what He gave me, I don't think it's, I want to do my own thing. Do you understand that what He has saved you from? It's not too big of a thing for Him to ask you to live holy. When God speaks to you, it is not up for discussion. We have little people that live in our house. Well, all our people are kind of little people except for Joe. But we have younger children at our house. And this past week, I don't remember what day it was, one came home, and I said to them, I said, okay, take care of all your stuff and put all your stuff away. Yeah, I just got to do this one. No, stop. Go take care of all of your stuff. Yeah, but I just got a question for you. No, just do that first. Do that first. And that's how we are with the Lord. The Lord tells us to do something. Yeah, but I just want to do one thing. No. No, I want you to be holy right now. I want you to be clean right now. Yeah, I'll get it later. Yeah, but what about, no, stop. Just do what I've told you to do right now. So, what has the Lord told you to do this week? What did He touch your heart about? I'll say the most difficulty that we experience in the Christian life is simply by us choosing the flesh over the Spirit. It's what do I want to do over what God wants to do with me. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You know what, God, He has redeemed us from all of our iniquity. But He's redeemed us to be something today. We can make a lot of excuses and we can justify our sin all the time, but if we want to get serious about the things of God, eventually we just got to start telling the flesh no. Well, I'm a work in progress, and we're all a work in progress. I love that verse in Philippians chapter 1. Yes, he that hath begun a good work in you, and I understand it's a process, but it's got to be a process. God desires holiness. God desires a cleansing, a purifying of that. That's what He says. A peculiar people, and that's going to, not like Walmart peculiar people, but like stand out in a crowd. Why? Because you're clean. We've all heard wind before. It's going to be windy today. I'm just giving you a heads up. So He's redeemed us from something. He's redeemed us to be something. I understand preaching on holiness and purifying ourselves and cleaning up our life isn't popular. I get it. But when God talks to your heart and when He leads you and when you're opening up the Word of God and He's saying, hey, this has got to change. This has got to come off. This has got to be put on. Are we listening to that? Are we even asking that? The name of the message this morning is redeemed for a purpose. From something, to be something, and lastly, for something. God has a plan and a direction for your life. Well, number one, we've got to get a hold of our iniquity to be forgiven. Number two, we've got to start allowing Him to work in our life. The greatest worker in our life is the Holy Spirit of God. I've had a lot of people ask me about certain situations in their life and, hey, what do you think? Yeah, what's God telling you to do? Because I can tell you what I see, but what does God say? That's far exceeding. Because He's got a plan for you. He's not only redeemed you from something to be something, but it's for a purpose. It's for something. He has a direction. He has, the Bible said in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He's got a work that he wants you to do. Now, please understand, those good works don't forgive our sin. Can't do that. No. But we do good works because we are forgiven of our sin. We serve the Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We read verse 11. We'll read it again. It says, 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Hey, that's the redeemed to be something right here. Look at verse 12. Having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works. Isn't that what we just saw in Titus? Hey, he wants you zealous of good works. He's got a plan. There was some that were speaking evil of, but they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hey, there's some evildoers out there. You maybe work next to one. Your neighbor may be that. Hey, they're just contrary to the things of God. Outspoken, bold against the things of the Lord. Oh, they just drive me crazy. How could they not see? I don't know. But you know what's going to change them? Say what? Your good works. They may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. God's got a plan for you. He's redeemed you. He's purchased you. He saved you from all of your iniquity. And he wants you to live right and clean and pure. Right here, right now. He wants to clean you up because he's got a plan for you. Do you understand that? So many of our young people are concerned and worried. I don't know what God has. God, do you know that God has a plan far better than any guidance counselor? Now, guidance counselors, if you're a guidance counselor or you got help from a guidance counselor, praise the Lord. They are helpful. They help you get your tests in and they help you fill out the paperwork right. I'm not talking down about guidance counselors. But who knows better? The God of heaven? So many young people are lacking purpose. They have no idea why they're even on this earth. God says, I'll tell you. I've saved you from all your iniquity. I want you to live holy because I have a plan for your life. That's pretty simple. But there's evildoers that will behold something, your good works. Psalm 107 and verse 2. I love this verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. Hey, he saved you for something. He saved me so I can just keep my mouth shut and not tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that's correct. Not according to that verse. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Brother Rice asks, hey, if you're saved in here, say amen. Amen, right? I think it was Jay in the Sunday school class read this verse. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God's working on us. He's got a plan, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Long before you ever bowed the knee and said, God, please forgive me of my sin, he had a plan already laid out for you. He hath ordained that long before we ever called on him. What does he want from us? What is the direction for the future? I'll tell you this, it's this. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know what God has a plan? Know what he wants? Aiden, Jaden, know what he wants? He wants worship from you. He's redeemed you from all your iniquity. Praise the Lord. And that debt is very expensive to pay. to save yourself from embarrassment, ever get yourself in debt? If you know, you know how that feels. Could you imagine an eternal debt that will follow you for all eternity? And Christ says, I'll pay for that. I'll pay for it. Paid in full. Redeemed. Now I have a plan for you. I want you to clean up. There's some things in your life that don't belong. And there's some things that should be in your life that aren't there. And it's a process. Because I have a plan for you. Number one, I want you to worship me. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created some things. No, that's not what it says. A couple things. No, it says, Thou hast created all things. I'm not here by chance. I'm not here by accident. Neither are you. You were created. And say, what is my purpose? To worship God. He made you, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to worship Him. This week, did He get worship from you? Maybe you're still in the cleaning process. You can still worship Him. Number one, a worshiper. Number two, a witness. The last command He gave us is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, praise the Lord how much finances that we, through church, sacrificially give above our tithe to send the gospel all over the world. Man, that's tremendous. That's wonderful. Some of you have had a chance to take some of those trips and get to see what's going on in all those other parts. And you put money in a plate or you send a check across the ocean and you think, well, I wonder what this is going to. And then you get a chance to see that. That's the end of the verse, and under the uttermost part of the earth. But can I ask you, are you being a witness in Jerusalem, meaning right here? Hey, I'd rather send my money all across and then just sit on the couch and just watch TV. That's not what God has for us. God's got a plan for you, and that's to be a witness for Him. Hey, can I encourage you? This spring, we have some thoughts and ideas of kind of having a gospel campaign. So what does that look like? I don't know yet, but the world is without Christ, and we have the answer. So I feel like we should meet. Not that I can save anybody, but I'd like at least to give them the information. Could you tell someone about the gospel this week? The redemptive act of Christ. Hey, just bring them right over to the table. Put $20 in their hand. And say, all right, let me explain to you who you are on this table. You're not the MacBook Pro. You're not even a fun board game. You, I know this is going to be hard to swallow, you're trash. And God said, I want you. That, see, our sin is offensive to God. And you can go through all of that. Say, no, I'm a good person. You understand in the eyes of God we're an enemy. And you can take them right through. Tell someone about the gospel. That Christ died not just for you, but He died for them. But that's going to take a commitment. It's going to require you walking in the Spirit. That's going to require two things. Courage. I'm a 45-year-old grown man. And sometimes a 17-year-old girl waiting at the end of the Wegmans aisle scares me. I say, why? Because I know in my pocket is a gospel tract. And I'm like, man. And the Lord's like, you need to tell her. You need to share that. And some 17-year-old... Hey, no, we need courage. You've been working next to a person for a while, or there's someone in your life, a family member, somebody that doesn't know about the Lord. Courage. But not only will you need courage, but you'll also need compassion. Say, why? because in our heart, if we have a love and care for our fellow man to come to the knowledge of Christ, that changes things. Lord, in compassion, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love is a great motivator. If we saw people how God saw people. Hey, do you understand God's got a plan? He saved you from something. He wants you to be something. A church, the Bible says, holy and without spot or blemish. That means clean before Him. And then He's got a direction for your life. He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to be a witness for Him. He wants you to work for Him. Living a testimony that brings glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter number 5. This might be our last verse. Does that help? All right, good. Let your light so shine before men in verse 16. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your... What? What's it say? Here, we'll read it. Let your light so shine before men, Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works aren't going to get you to heaven. That was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross. I just believe, it just takes faith to believe that. Faith is required. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, if you could earn your salvation, it wouldn't, you'd tell everybody how great you are. But when God died for you, and He paid for you, now the only person that we can glorify is God Himself. And He wants you to be clean, and He wants you to serve Him, that they may see your good works. Are they seeing that? Are you serving the Lord with your life? Are you serving and loving others? A worshiper, a witness, and a worker. There's a couple of different types of workers, and you've seen them probably around the place of employment. The ones where you need to pull along, if you will, highly motivate, threaten with losing their job. Nobody likes that kind of worker. Everybody likes the self-motivated, do your job, I don't want to have to oversee you. You've all worked with those kind of people. God says, know what I'm looking for? Not just peculiar people, but people that do good works zealously. Zealous of good works. What does the word zealous mean? It means with zeal, with Ashley, a little excitement. Do you know why it's not hard to manufacture excitement about the things that we're talking about? Because such were some of you. Hey, I was in the pit when the Lord came down. I was a mess. I was deep in my sin. I was 10 years old. And I heard the gospel message and it made sense and someone showed me from the scriptures and I trusted Christ. Hey, you start talking about what God did in your life, it's hard not to be zealous. Hey, living for the Lord? Hey, that's an exciting thing. Why? Faith is required. It proves to you that God is who He says He is. When it's real to you, there is passion for it. Ever get passionate about a hobby? Man, all of a sudden, dad comes home and he's buying tools and he's selling this stuff so he could get more tools and he's out in the shed and man, he's excited about this hobby. What is he? He's zealous about it. Efforts, time, resources, all of it goes. He's zealous. Maybe you're a sports fan and you have a room decorated in your favorite team and you wear jerseys and hats and gloves and you kick the other team and you're excited about that. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? How about excited about that? Say, well, I don't want to be fake. If it's real to you, it's not fake. There's a passion. I understand there's a balance of zeal. You can go crazy with it and lose your mind. And, you know, hey, you can have zeal and no knowledge. I understand that. But a good blend of the two. So here you are. Maybe you've been redeemed. Is there some things in your life that God wants to put on? Are there some things in your life that need to go? Do you understand that He's redeemed you for a purpose? Are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you worshiping Him? Are you witnessing for Him? Well, that's just not my thing. I'm not really. That's all our thing. Are you serving Him? I'm going to show you one last verse. I mean it. It's at the end. There's nothing written after this. I was going to read it to you, but I think you should see it. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews 9. This is our whole message in one verse again. In Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We have all three of those things. We see the redemption through the blood of Christ. We see the purging or the cleansing. And then we see serving the living God. Where are you in that process? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin? Say, I do it all the time. You only need to do it once. That's it. Eternal. It's eternal life. Number two, are you living holy? Are there things in your life that ought not to be? Did you spend time with God this week? Did you open up His Word and allow Him to talk to your heart? Did you obey it? And lastly, are you fulfilling the purpose that He has for you? To worship Him, to witness, and to serve Him. Let's all stand. And to do it all with zeal. I'm telling you, it is exciting to serve the Lord. I'm going to ask you this, no one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. Say, Pastor, that message about the point about living holy, I've neglected the Word of God a bit, and God has spoken to my heart, and I've kind of told Him, no, I haven't been as obedient as I should. Is there anybody like that here today? Maybe with an uplifted hand. I just haven't been as obedient as I should. All right, hands. Appreciate your honesty. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're not fulfilling your purpose. God has called you to be a worshiper. He's called you to be a witness. He wants you to serve Him, but you've been reluctant. You've been holding back. Maybe today is the day that you come and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here for You, whatever You want me to do, but I want my life to glorify You. Maybe you haven't even been redeemed from all your iniquity. And today's the day that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day that you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from all your sin, all your iniquity. In a moment, we're going to have something called an invitation. And I invite you to come forward. Whatever the Lord dealt with you about, I know it takes courage to step out. I know it takes courage to move out of your seat because it indicates, hey, something's not right. I understand that. But that's between you and the Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask You, bless this time of invitation now. Lord, continue to work in our hearts. God, thank You for Your patience and long-suffering. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Maybe, Lord, touch your heart about something. Maybe there's something in your life, maybe that holy living. Maybe you need to be bolder for a witness, a worker. I do it, but I don't do it with zeal. Maybe today's the day that you come to Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you.